Jesus so sweetly abides with him, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was a blood applied, glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have a good day in the Lord's house today. Amen. Praise God. Brother Rommel, would you open our services up in prayer, please? Yes. 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 Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's see. Notes today, we're gonna have a visiting preacher next week coming from Oregon. He's going to preach the Wednesday service, Wednesday evening service. So if everyone could show up for that service, he's coming down from Oregon, and his family is from, Escondido area. His wife is from that area. And so they're going to be down here on vacation, and he's going to come and preach for us on Wednesday night. And then he's going to teach and preach on next Sunday morning, Sunday school, and the service on Sunday morning. And so if you could all come out and hear him preach, he's a prospective candidate for our pastor. So come on out and hear him so you can see if... the Lord wants you to vote for him. Let's see, what else do we have? We have some special music this morning. We're going to be blessed with some special music, so we look forward to that. And praise God. God is good. It's been a good week. I hope everyone's had a good week. Is there anything that I need to add that I've forgotten? Pat, anything? Anything we need to add?
Update on Brother George.
Brother George? Well, yes, Brother George. Well, I mean, I guess we haven't announced it, but Brother George is a candidate for our pastor. So, amen. So, the church voted when all of this, when Pastor retired, that they wanted at least three candidates for pastor. And so Brother George right now is the only candidate. He's the only one that's been qualified and met all the requirements for that the Bible has for pastor. And so we look forward to the other two candidates that the Lord will bring our way. And hopefully this brother that's coming, what's his name? I forget. David Packard is his name. Another David. Like, we need more Davids. I'm telling you. We're just going to take over. David. I don't know. Just kidding. All right. So let's turn over to 251. 251. We'll sing 251. There's power in the blood. Amen. Power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from its passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's power, wonder, power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's see. From there, let's have our scripture reading this morning. First scripture reading. Amen. No. Amen.
I'm going to read from Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drive us away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. Read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Praise be the reading of the Lord.
Amen.
Would you all stand and turn over to 428, and we'll have our offering after the song. 428. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for each day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Amen. Brother Roger.
Heavenly Father, again, so thankful for your love, your watch care. We thank you for the many blessings, Lord, that you put upon us that we do not deserve. We thank you again.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Guide and direct throughout the world. We pray for them, Lord. Lift them up. Continue
yes.
to watch over
Thank
them.
You, Jesus.
We again pray for our church, Lord,
yes.
that we will be successful in reaching someone to pastor us. We mm-hmm. thank you so much, Lord, for those that are willing to be candidates.
Yes.
We pray that you be with Brother George today and
yes,
open
Lord.
The bread of life to us. Minds yeah. and hearts will be tuned to your word.
Yes.
Thank you for him.
Yes.
We pray for this offering, Lord, under the blessed. The gospel here at our church, but throughout the world, where our missionaries preach. Again, thank you for loving us, dying on the cross,
yes.
and shedding of blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Brother Johnny, have you got a song? Amen.
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 Amen. Good morning, everyone. You know, I'll tell you something. Back in Chicago, when I was still in my lost condition, we seemed like we used to have parties every Saturday. And somebody told me, a couple of people told me that, Johnny, you a good dancer, you could. Oh man, what'd they tell me that for? But you know what? I was just fooling myself, you know what I mean? But you know, one day, see, I don't dance anymore. But one day, just like this thing in this song, when I stand before my Lord, I'm gonna dance for Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some time ago, I saw this thing from years gone by. Now pain and gold, her feeble body, but still a gleam was in her. I asked her, now how are you doing? Fearing what she had to say, but the words she said unto me, I remember the day. Now this is what she said to me. I can't recall a day that I'm not no pain. For years I never took a step without a cripple's cane. But I had a talk with Jesus, and He told me some good news. It won't be long till I be wearing my dancing shoes. I'm gonna dance all over heaven in praise to my King. Some will rest by the river, some will shout, some will sing. Now some will sing in this ages looking over celestial view. But I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes. I'm gonna dance all over heaven in praise to my King.
the sun will rest by the river. Some will shout and some will sing. Now some will spin in this ancient looking over celestial view. But I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes. Oh, summer spin in the air, looking over celestial view. But I'll be dancing over heaven in my dancing shoes, in my heavenly dancing shoes. Yes, I will, my friend. I'm gonna be doing the heavenly cha-cha. Praise God, hallelujah. Lord, me and my music. Oh, there, praise.
I got to see a little bit back here. He was doing a little dancing. I saw a little bit of that back there. He was doing a little bit back here. Amen. Amen. It's been good already. It's been good. So let me hammer this name because... No, I won't. The Quimbas. Kimbas. I tried. Are going to sing for us now. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Offered cleansing for our sin,
an icon that reminds us that we're free. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Through his hands and through his feet, he took the nails for you and me. Angels watched as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. God forbid that I should ever let my memory fade, but forever keep the cross in view, for that's where I was saved. I was saved. There was a cross made for the Son of God at Calvary. Two pieces of rough timber on a hill. poison through his feet. He took the nails for you and me. Angels washed as he died for the lost. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. The cross. Though he could have walked away, he chose the cross. He chose the cross.
Amen. Praise God. Boy, those young voices, boy, that's good, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we'll have Brother George come and share with us what the Lord's given him for us today. Amen. Amen.
I knew there was something between me and Brother Johnny, something common. I'm gonna let you in a secret, amen? Just don't tell anyone. When I was 17, maybe 18, I went through a ballroom dancing instructor school. And I actually worked as a dance instructor for a few months. So the first day I came here, I was trying to figure out what did Brother Johnny and I have in common. Now I know. Now I know. Please stand with me in honor of the holiness of God's word. Matthew chapter 14 today. Matthew chapter 14 as we open up the holy book. As I often say, that when we open the Word of God, understand that it is the holy Word of God. And then when preaching comes, there is oftentimes a battle, a spiritual battle that happens in the heart and the spirits of men. Matthew chapter 14, we're just going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll all be seated and let's see what God has for us this morning. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to be reading starting with verse 13 and all the way to verse 31. Just follow along with me so you'll see the context of this chapter. Verse 13 says, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 14, if you're still looking for your page. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, and they followed him on foot out of the cities, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. We've looked at that text a couple of Sundays ago from the book of John. Slide down to verse 22 now. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and go to before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, we close in verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, please bless the preaching of your word this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the encouragement. Thank you for preserving your word, for preserving your inspired word. Thank you for the sensical time that we've learned. Continue to be with us. Be with this church as they look for a pastor to under-shepherd them. Pray, Lord God, that may it be your will, not our way, not our preference, but your will. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there are two storms that you will find in the Gospels. And you will find in these two storms, in one of them, Jesus was asleep. In the second one, in the text that we're looking at, Jesus was absent. Look at verse 22 with me. He says, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship." See, he had just performed the miracle of the 12 baskets, the 2 loaves and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had just performed the miracle in front of the multitudes, and multitudes were following Jesus Christ. You remember that message? Multitudes follow Jesus Christ, and he had compassion on them. And then straightway, he tells his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him. See, their leader, the leader of the apostles, God, Jesus Christ, tells them to go ahead of him. Let's ponder that for a moment. What would you do when God asks you to go before him? To go to a place where he's not at. To go ahead of the way, ahead of him, unto the other side. Let that sink in for a little bit. What would you do if God tells you to go somewhere and tells you that he's going to stay around, he's going to stick around, but you have to go ahead of him? What would you have done? But the disciples followed, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. If you go to John chapter 6, verses 14 to 21 with me, look at a different account from John of the same event. Go to John chapter 6. Verse 16, he says, "When even was now come," evening, that's where we get the word evening, even. meaning it's at night, was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and what does that say? Jesus was not come to them. And then the sea arose by reason of great wind that blew. Go to Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. Another account of the same incident. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. Verse 45 says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And again, when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." So you'll find three characteristics of this storm. The first characteristic of the storm is that there was no light, because it was even, it was at night. You see, a storm, a spiritual storm, if I may, happens at night. True trials of faith happens at night. And I don't mean evening. I don't mean the absence of the sun. What I mean is in darkness, in spiritual darkness, when there is no vision. See, one of the characteristics of a true trial in a Christian life is that when you get to a point where you're going through the storm in your life and there seems to be no vision, there seems to be no solution, because it is at night. Second characteristic of the storm that I find from this text is that there was no Jesus. There was no Jesus. At least there was an apparent absence of God in this storm. I believe in the minds of the apostle, they knew that Jesus was not with them because he had stayed behind. See, another characteristic of a storm, and if I may, a spiritual storm, is that it will seem like God is not there. And then the third characteristic of a storm that you'll find in here is that there was no progress. There was no progress. In another text, in the Mark chapter 6, verse 48, we'll look at that in a little bit. He says they were toiling and rowing, and yet the ship had only moved 5 and 20 furlongs, about an eighth of a mile. Looking at the three features, look at verse 24, or verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, see, this storm lingered until the fourth watch of the night. And someone said that the fourth watch of the night is the darkest part of the evening. Did you know that? If you could divide the evening into four different parts, the first part of the evening, you could see the sun setting down. And yeah, yes, it is getting dark, but you could still see. And then you get the second quarter of the night where, at least in the cities, everybody would turn on their lights. The buildings would turn on their lights. The street lights would come on. And there is still light. Yes, it is dark, and yet, but there is still light. And you get to the third night, the third part of the night where everybody's asleep and everybody turns up their light. When you get to the fourth part of the night, the fourth watch, it's called, the last 3 hours of the night, is the darkest part of the night. You see, when you get to that fourth watch of the night, most people are asleep. Look at the characteristic of the storm when they're going through the storm. It was through the fourth watch of the night It was darkness in the middle of the sea as the ship was being tossed to and fro. They could not see if you've ever been in a storm before. You see, you're thinking they were just in the boat being rocked to and fro. But in reality, if you would put yourselves in that scenario, in that very situation, you would imagine waves crashing on their boat, water in front of their eyes, blurring their vision. They're unable to see more than a feet away. There's no vision. The boat would get tossed to the left, and they begin to feel that they're being driven to the left, only to get hit back towards the other side, towards the right. It seemed like there was no solution. There was no direction. They were becoming hopeless. And not only that, the characteristic of this storm being having no light, everyone was asleep. There was no one there to help. There was no one there who knew their need. But you see, the first characteristic of a spiritual storm is if you ever come across a spiritual storm in your life where there's no solution, there's no vision, and everyone seems to be asleep, that no one seems to care, no one knows your need, and you're looking for help, you're crying for help, but there is just no one there who fully understands what you're going through. There's no light. There's no help. There is no hope. And then secondly, for the disciples, there was no Jesus, like I said. There was no Jesus. Initially, at least, he was not in the ship. When they departed from the shore to go to the other side, Jesus was not with them. Jesus was not with them, at least not until the third watch, or the fourth watch of the night. But you see, it is in the darkest hours in the night. Well, spiritually, in our trials, when you feel like God has abandoned you. I don't know how many of you have gone through trials like that, where you get to the point where you had no direction, you had no one that cared for you, you called upon God and He did not answer. And they feared. The Bible says they feared. And then finally, like I said, there was no progress. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 5. A different story, but just to give you a picture of what was going on here. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Simon Peter, look at this. Just to illustrate the picture of doing everything in your power and not having any result. So verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. See that? Mark chapter 6, verse 48. See, imagine the scenario. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Look at this. And when even was come, verse 47, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. They were trying to get out of the situation with their power. They were trying to get out of that situation, for the wind was contrary. Have you ever been in a place when you're in your life when you're trying everything that you could, but everything seems to be going against your way? Everything seems to be going against everything that you're trying to accomplish. Such was the demise of these apostles, the disciples. They weren't just sitting there doing nothing, letting the circumstances overcome them and overflood their boat. They were doing something actively. Two things that they were doing. Number one, if you've ever gone on a boat and able, if you could row, in order for you to row and go anywhere, two things you had to do. Excuse me. In order for us to row, if you've ever been in a boat, for you to row, number one, you have to sit still or stand still. Ever gone boating before? You cannot row while you're walking or moving around. You need to stand still or sit still and row. Do you agree?
Amen.
Now think about that. The apostles, that's exactly what they were doing. They were just standing still. They were not moving. And they were doing everything in their effort to get out of that storm. But look at them. And the Bible says they moved. Yes, they moved. But not far. Not far. As a matter of fact, and let's look at another text out here. See how far they got. Look at the text here. John chapter 6, verse 19 again. Go to John chapter 6, verse 19. It tells you how far they got. John chapter 6, verse 19. Look at this. So when they had rowed about, how much? 25 or 30 furlongs. If you calculate that, it's about an eighth of a mile. Okay? And yet they toiled and labored all night. And I'm not talking about one man. I'm talking about all of the disciples rowing and toiling, and yet they're not moving. They hadn't moved. Yes, they stood still. Yes, they stood firm, as God has told them to. Yes, they were going in the direction that Christ had told them to go, and yet they hadn't moved. They were trying with their power, with their might. They were trying to encourage one another, and yet they were not moving, at least to the other shore. But first, you see, they were mistaken. Look back up to verse 23. They thought that the storm that they're going through had no light in it, had no Jesus in it, and had no progress in it. But in reality, look at verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. You see, when you go through a stormy trial in your life, the reality is, even though it seems like it's dark, even though it seems like there was no Jesus, even though it seems like there was no progress, Christ is actually there with you.
Amen.
And he says, and he shows up in the fourth watch of the night, verse 25. Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. You see, when you are in that stage of a stormy trial, of no light, of no Jesus, of no progress, it is an opportunity for Jesus Christ to perform a miracle. To show himself to us. You know, God has taught me something. Not too long ago, we've gone through some stormy trials. But you know what I realized? Those weren't there to destroy us. It was there to lead us to the other side. But when we were going through that trial, it seemed like there was no hope. It seemed like there was no light. It seems like nobody cared. It felt like the whole church didn't care. I'm hurt. My brother's hurt. My family's hurt. Don't you care? Don't you guys care? That's what it felt like. It seems like there is no one there. It seems like everyone's asleep. The whole world moved on as I went through this trial and this struggle. And it seemed like there was no Jesus. We prayed and prayed and prayed. I even fasted and fasted for that problem that we had. And then there was no solution to it. As a matter of fact, it got worse. Another incident of curse. And then another incident of curse. It's just one after another, just like the wind, tossing us to and fro. But we stood firm. We stayed there, and we tried to roll. We tried to roll to stand our ground. And it seems like we're not making progress. Then I saw this text and I realized, no, it's not that there was no light. It's not that there was no Jesus. It's not that we were making no progress. It's just that Jesus Christ was trying to get us to the other side. Amen. Because that is the nature of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. It was an opportunity. The trials that we go through, the storms in life that we go through, is an opportunity for us to understand what faith is about. And then I learned true faith. Faith is characterized by not knowing, not seeing, and just believing. That is true faith. And Hebrews says it is the substance. It is the substance. It is the thing that makes us a Christian. It is faith. The inability to see and yet moving on and taking action even though we don't see, even though we don't have progress, even though it seems like there is no God, even though there is no vision, we just keep moving and believing, and that is faith. In verse 31, you know what he says to close? Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. When Peter had trusted for a moment Jesus Christ to come onto the water, see, God knows that if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, the grain of a mustard seed, he said, you'll be able to move mountains. But you see, God knows we have no such faith. He says in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, little faith. And you know, Brother David, I understand. I finally understood God's will. Without going through the specifics. And whether or not you guys voted for me to be your next pastor, whether or not you do so, again, I don't try to get ahead of God's will. We're going to be in this church. Amen. We'd like to transfer our membership here. Amen. If you would accept us. I've already spoke with our pastor, and he's given us the blessing to transfer our membership here. But this was the text that God used to confirm that, to confirm his will. When we're going through trials and storms and problems, you know what? The first initial reaction of us human beings is to blame other people. We think, though, it's his fault or her fault. It's his fault, you know. And then we begin to develop hatred and anger in our hearts. But because of the love of Jesus Christ, He's helped me to understand that He has allowed those things to happen, not to break us, but to show us and to lead us to the other side. One of my teachers in the seminary said, one Christian's problems could be another Christian's encouragement. And then I realized the will of God. He allowed things to happen to move us. He allowed things to happen to move us, to show us His will. Verse 32, look at the text. We'll close with this. And here's the promise. If you're going through trials today, if you've gone through trials in your life, and it seemed like there was no light, you had no vision, you came to that point in your life when there was nobody that cared. And you cried to Jesus and He wasn't there and He didn't answer. And you tried everything you could, but there was no progress. Here's the encouragement. Here's where I'm going to close. Verse 32 says, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Every storm has an end. If you're going through a storm right now, if you've gone through a storm in your life, can I encourage you? Every storm will cease. It will come to an end. Be encouraged this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as we have the piano play. As the piano plays, Brother David sings an altar call.
Everybody rise and we'll turn over to number 540. 540. And after this, would the Valeris family please come forward so we can welcome them into our church.
Amen. Verse, and then if you come forward and give them the Yeah.